What I want to share with you today is regarding that of God's beauty. Has anybody ever noticed God's beauty? Have you had time or did you take time this week to take notice of God's beauty? It's all around us. As I began to put together a thought for this morning, starts like from last week on, I'm just Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm just like, okay, Lord, let's this read this. Let's do this. Let's study that. Let's look at this. Let's think of that. And so I was looking at different directions and focuses of God. And I kind of asked God, I go, where are we going in your word on Sunday? I don't really do a whole lot of pre-planning. Some pastors plan out these things a whole year already. I'm going this way, and I'm going that way, and I'm going this way, and then all of a sudden, it's God. Because that's the way I live my life with God on a daily, weekly basis. I want to be just in around Him and hearing and listening to Him. And with my God, as I've said before, every day in traveling and talking and listening and looking and paying attention to the signs. Not to the signs of the end times, but I'm looking to the signs of His creation. Amen. Even yesterday afternoon, I'm up in my room, and when I was on the west side of the house, and the blinds were at such an angle, and it was a beautiful day yesterday. And the sun was coming through the window, and the sky was blue. And I was just mesmerized. I said, oh my God, beauty, the beauty of the sun. And I'm not saying that because it's cold in winter and I wanted my eyes to melt. I'm just saying it helps. But I loved looking at that. I look at what my God created and what He sustains. And I said, oh Lord, this is beautiful. Matter of fact, I was out yesterday finishing and trying to clean up some ice and this and that, and had a wonderful neighbor that came with his tractor to help me afterwards, but until he could go and come back and get his tractor, I'm in my, jacket and all. I got my hat and my gloves on. I went in my garage and got a chair out, and I sat on my back sidewalk in the sun, and I'm just sitting outside. Somebody would probably look and think, we need to call social services. I think that guy's crazy. He's just sitting outside. He's lost his scruples. But I sat in the garage for a while. I thought, I'll just sit here, just enjoy the fresh air. Then I thought, you know what? I'm going to take this outside and just sit outside in the backyard and just look at the tree, look at the sky, look at God. And I know as we look at this past week and the weather and the ice and yuckiness and all, there was beauty in it. And I get out of my car, and I'm getting stuff out, and all of a sudden I hear, boom, something like that on the top of my car. It's like, what in the world? Well, we got a big maple tree there, and some ice had come off and hit the top of the car. It didn't dent it or nothing like that, but it sure sounds like it, right, when that stuff hits that stuff. It's like, whoa. And I'm looking, all of a sudden, I'm looking on the ground, and it's like shards of glass, but it's ice. And it was so cool looking. I'm looking at it, and this is cool, because it's just different shapes and pieces of ice coming off that tree. And as the wind blew it off, yeah, someone's hitting the house. I thought somebody was coming in the back door, all of these things. I thought the screen door blew open, stuff hitting the roof. But as I'm getting out and I'm looking in the backyard, and actually the wind was blowing hard enough that it went over the house and into the front yard. Plus the tree is pretty high. But I'm looking at this crystal clear ice on the white snow that had been there or whatever. And the sun was up and it was just glistening. But even in things like that, if we would begin to look at the majestic of God and the beauty of those things, it just puts you into that respect of God. You're mighty. You're awesome. You're the creator. So I'll say this, that God is awesome. He's an awesome God. So I began to look. I thought, well, okay, creation. And we'll just kind of bounce through some things here and see where we're at. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says that He has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts. He's put eternity in my heart. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. So what we got to do this is, now I'm going to tell you, when you're trying to look at the God's majesticness and his creation and all these things, don't get into the philosophical understanding of science and understanding all this to try to figure it out. Just take it for what it is, the magnificence of God's creation. And just rest on that and take time with God. And you don't need to be asking him for your problems. You don't need to be asking this and praying for that. We do all those things, yes. But take some time out, sometime during the day, the week, or something. Look at God as for who he is and what he has created. And you, me, I, us, we get to look at it. Wow. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Now, we can get into all kinds of other things of what Ecclesiastes and things of speaking of that. But I want to focus where he has made everything beautiful in his time. Amplified, he says, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart. Do you have a divine purpose in your heart yet? God will put it there if you will let him. If you will focus on God and some of his creation, sometimes I believe, and just say, I'm sitting in my chair on my back sidewalk, Lord, here I am, just looking around, hearing the sound of a bird tweeting, spring. Ah. But here I am, Lord. You got to avail yourself to God so that he can put things into you. You can't be running to and fro. You can't be fretting. You can't be thinking of all the things in this world that's going on. You know, and some of the things that even within myself, there's things I got to push off to the side. There's things I need to pray about for me. But you know what? I want to put that to the side because I love my God, and I want to say how much I love him to the point of I will sit here, Lord, and I just will want to listen to what you might want to tell me. And sometimes, you know what? You got to give him more than 15 seconds. You know, we can get to this thing, oh, I'm going to go sit here and I'm just going to listen for God, okay, and okay, I guess nothing's happening, you know. You just begin. And I think what happens with me anyway is that God gets me to that level to where I get mesmerized to the point of I just look at the sun, I look at the clouds, I look at the blue sky, I look at the trees, I look at whatever it is. I see his print upon it. And I just say, wow. And we got problems? Really? We got a problem that's too big for God? You think your problem is too big for the Creator? That's ridiculous. You think God doesn't hear you? That's ridiculous. He hears you. He even knows your thoughts. But it's in his time. It's in his season. It's for what? A purpose. I don't understand that purpose. That's okay. But do I understand my God? I've got to understand my God. I think back in Sunday school, we were talking about Sarah and different things on the women and what was taking place with Sarah. But it's like, you know, we sometimes have doubts within ourselves that I'm able to do it, but that shouldn't take away from that I still believe God is possible to do it. Anyway, that can go off in a part there. But I'm just looking at the magnificence of God. Okay, so he has planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. So many people out in our world today, they're lost, they're missing something, they don't know what they're looking for. I had a time when I was going to play this song and a message somewhere along the line, but I never did it. But John, it comes to this point. We were talking about the love of Christ and all one morning on a getting together on a Monday. And I said, it's like that old song, I can't think who sang it, but looking for love in all the wrong places. The world is looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for it in their job. They're looking for it in substances. They're looking for it in their hobby. They're looking for it in whatever the case is, but they're looking for it all in the wrong place. For God is love. God is love. But anyway, ooh, hallelujah. Yet man cannot find out what God has done. Man cannot find out. It says man cannot comprehend or grasp. It's just hard to fathom. Now we got many many scientists out there trying to figure out all kinds of stuff of creation and space and all that stuff out there. And you know what? This past week or two, I had found that with the Hubble telescope up there, I think they found three or four things out there in space. Now they don't. It just blows everything apart as far as, I don't know what it all. I didn't read it because it gets way out there. But all I know is the further that man goes to try to find out things, the further they need to go to find out what really is going on. So the Hubble telescope is only giving them a, you know, like, I don't know, 300 million light years away look or whatever, I don't know. But you got to get through that point to find out what's on the other point of that, you know. But I can tell you what you find out. You're going to find out that God put it all together. All of the spans of heaven and all of that, we look out there and we look at us. And look at us on this little blue marble. But God loves us. He's taking care of us. He may be doing that for others. I don't know. I don't know what's going on way out there. There's just a lot of space out there that we don't know. But all I do know is I know that I know my God. And I don't need to worry about what's way out there or way over here or what's this or what's that, because I am living. You know, we talk about where sometimes people in the days, they just live in the now. They just live in for the moment. Well, it's kind of like I'm with that with God. I'm just living in the now with God right now. For the moment that God is with me right here, right now. And I want to look and see and partake of and do and be whatever I can for him, but I also want to take notice of what he is doing around me and for me. Well, I didn't ask you to do that, God. I know, Tim. I just want to bless you. Okay. Let me tell you, when you wake up in the morning and the plows have come through and, you know, they put all that stuff in the approach of your driveway, you know, it's all, you're going, where did that come from? Well, I know where it came from. Well, when you hear your neighbor out there with his big tractor that he has got a bucket and a scraper and all, and he's clearing out the end of your driveway, so when I leave at 8 o'clock, it's open. That's a blessing of God. It's a blessing of God. Look for the blessings of God. Thank you, Lord, for neighbors like that. Oh, what a blessing. But we can't comprehend or grasp a lot of stuff. We think we know what we're doing. We're really very, that's far. We're just scratching the surface of understanding of anything, probably, what God has done, or his overall plan from the beginning to the end. The Easy Read says this, Easy Read version, God gave us the ability to think about his world, but we can never completely understand everything he does. And yet he does everything at just the right time. Just the right time, not late. Hello, not early. Just the right time. Sunday morning in Sunday school back there talking about Sarah. Look at the time frame and things that developed and how she tried to make a difference and it didn't work right. And then, but it wasn't until later on, you know, but into her 90s. It was just the right time. It was God's time. I hope that we can get to that point to where we can surrender our time. Can I surrender my time over to God and say, I want your time to be on my timetable? Because I think if I would do that, he would take care of a lot of stuff for me. I would not get ahead of him. I would not fall behind him. I would not try to manipulate and do something on my own because I thought God was taking too long and now I mucked it up even worse. And now God's got to come in and really clean it up, you know. Thank God he's got mercy and grace because he'd probably say, you started it, you did it, you figure it out, Tim. Would you like God to tell you that in one of your situations and problems? You jumped the gun, Tim. It's up to you. You left me. I had the plan. Matter of fact, God said, I had the perfect plan. Well, but you couldn't wait. I want it now. I think I know what it needs to be done. And so we mess it up, and then we got to go back with egg on our face. Isn't that what they call it in the world? You mess up, and now you got to go back. I got egg on my face, you know. I'm going to tell you, at the price of eggs, you don't want too much of that on your face. You know? Don't go there. God has put within our hearts thoughts of eternity. Maybe even before you were a Christian and you would start to think. Now, you know, as we were kids growing up, I can't say I really thought about eternity, right? I was out playing. I was riding a horse that I didn't have, that was under between my legs, that I didn't have, but I was back in the day when they have the horse head on a stick. That was my horse, man. That was my horse. I went all over that, all over the grounds with that, you know. Put a towel on the back of my thing and tie it. Now I'm Superman. Didn't get off the floor, but I had my arms out and going, dun-da-da, dun-da-da. I could do all the music with it. I just couldn't fly, but I was in my head, in my mind, I was Superman. I was flying. But those days were playing and having fun. I wasn't thinking about eternity, but then you get a little older, a lot older, and you begin to start thinking, like, what's next? God's word says you're just a vapor passing through here. You're here and you're gone. So as we get older, we begin to, I don't say mature in that area, but we begin to have wonderings and thoughts. And if we come to Christ, we begin to read, we know where eternity is at. And we know where we will be in eternity, amen? There's no wondering, there's no, I want, I, maybe, I don't know, we're going to flip a coin, who knows? No, no, no. If your heart is right with God and you're a child of His, He's going to come. And when that time comes to call you home, He's going to say, come, here we come. Many people, when you've heard this, when they get there, and they're kind of like in that translucent state and coming and going, and they don't know this or that, and people are down on the, people in the hospital room or in their homes are praying for Him to come back. Bring Him back, Lord, bring Him back. And He's up there going, keep me here, Lord, keep me here. You know, the poor guy's going to have his hands like this, like, I'm being stretched, you know. Because most people that come back from that, that do come back, say it was so beautiful, so peaceful, so quiet, so whatever, whatever, but it was something that I cannot describe anything upon this earth that was like it. But find something that is perfect on this earth and magnify it like 10 zillion times, and that's what I saw in heaven, if that would even be enough magnification. So you look at nature, you look at things in the sky, you look at the weather, you look at the clouds, you look at so much, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the clarity and the crispness and all of these things. And it's like, this ain't nothing compared to what's there in heaven. But we look at this and we just want to try to figure out eternity. So God has put within our hearts thoughts of eternity. Because of this, we find it hard to be completely satisfied with our earthly pursuit. I'm going to tell you, once you get a hold of God and God gets a hold of you and you're going through this, there's many times, I know, it's, I've said it in jest. I've never got to the point of like, this is it, I want to buy and punch my ticket out of here. But there's things you get into. It's like, oh, Lord, if this is the way it is, just take me home now. Well, thank God He hasn't taken me home yet. Thank God He doesn't listen to all the stupid things Tim says. Anybody here say stupid things? I do a lot. Thank you, thank you. See a hand over here and a hand there? Hey, we got $25 over here, a hand over there. Who wants to get into heaven? But I'm glad He doesn't listen to some of my... Honey, I'm sorry you've got to listen to some of my stupidity. She's there. She's a saint. She says, oh, would you... Well, yes, Mommy. I called her the other day. We were saying something, I don't know. And I said something really off, really wacky. And she was having a rough day. And she goes, I don't know how she said it. It was just, oh, don't be so... What did you say, honey? Do you remember that? Knock it. Yeah, just knock it off. Just knock it off. Just on the phone. Well, I don't know. If that happens, just let them do this to me. Oh, just, I don't have time for that. Just knock it off. Daddy got spanked. But that's why God put her with me. God says, you, here, Dean, you'd handle him for a while, okay? Oh, Father. It's hard to be completely satisfied with our earthly pursuits. Remember, we've been created in God's image. Remember, we shared that some time back, that we've been created in His image. With that, we have a spiritual thirst. Well, you know, it's nothing like coming to him and all of a sudden you start getting thirsty. And you want more. You know, when you're thirsty and you're parched and you're spitting cotton, nothing like a bottle of water, some cool water, whatever the kid is. It's just, oh, that's refreshing. We have a spiritual thirst now. We have eternal value. We believe that. See, once we get into that and we understand God's creation and all that he's done, he's looked at us and just think, and I think we'll get here, but it's like God that created all this and the beauty, the magnificence of it, look at you. He created you in his image. Boy, what happened there? We have eternal value. We also find that nothing but the eternal God can truly satisfy us. Everybody's looking, how do we be satisfied? Only God can do that. There's a restlessness in us to find that perfect world, that perfect place in my world where I'm satisfied. So if I understand that, nothing that I find upon this earth is really truly going to be satisfying to me. It'll be good. It might last for a while, but it's not going to be truly satisfying, fulfilling to what God has. There's a restlessness in us to find that perfect world. It can only be found in God's perfect rule and order. We got to get to God. God has given us a glimpse of his perfection within his creation, but it is only a glimpse, a snapshot. We cannot see into the future or for sure not comprehend everything that's regarding the future. So this is where trust comes into play. Do you not trust God, the Creator, for this? Back in Genesis 1:31, it says this, and it talks about how, you know, God spoke regarding his creation. In Genesis 1:31, you can turn there, but quickly it just says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And there's a few times like that where he revealed it, and it was very good. If he looked at creation and what he created and said it was very good, I believe he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knows us. He sees us. I believe to myself, I could see where it would be that same thing, that it was good. You are good. God saw that all he created was excellent in every way. So just think, you are part of that creation. He is pleased with how he has made you. It is so easy for us to have feelings of worthlessness or having little to no value. We put that on ourselves, let alone the world putting it on us. You know, if we looked at it, sometimes we have a pile-on party on us with what we put on the self-worthlessness, I'm not this, I'm not that. The world comes on, it shoves things on you as well. You begin to believe all these things, and pretty soon you're going, what's the purpose? What's the use of my life? Why am I here? It is so easy for us to have feeling of worthlessness or having little or no value. This is just what the devil wants you to think and believe about yourself. You're nothing. You're nothing. But again, I look at my Creator, and I think of my Creator, and I look outside. I don't know, maybe we ought to, wonder if we can afford to, like one of these sky domes or something like that, like for football, we could just retract this roof and just look at the beauty of nature. Wouldn't that be awesome? Come out on a starry night, look up in the heavens. This is just for me. I'm just talking about myself. When I see those things, it just puts me that much closer to God. It puts me into the reality of knowing that, God, you're there. I don't need to understand everything. But by faith, I trust you, God. I don't understand, but I trust you, God. Yes, Lord. But the devil wants us all to think less about ourselves. God made you for a purpose and a reason. The world may say that you're valueless, but I'm here today to say that you have some great value. Also in Psalms 104, it talks about this. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. The New Century says, Lord, you have made many things. With your wisdom, you've made them all. The earth is full of your riches. Wow. In Psalms 104, it talks about where creation is filled with awe-inspiring variety. The earth reveals God's rich creativity, his goodness, his wisdom. So as we observe our natural surroundings, thank God for his creativeness. Begin to take a look and a fresh look at those things around you. Take a fresh look at people around you. How about that? Seeing them as God sees them. Look for the talents, the giftings, the abilities that God has put within them. The same God that has put giftings and talents and abilities in you, do you not think he's put them in other people? As I look around here, each and every one of you have some kind of a talent, a gifting, or ability that only God has placed within you. And it's up to you to find that with that of God. And to search it with God and to say, okay, God, here I am. You know, I'm not going to add, well, what am I here for, God? Oh, I'm going to sit here until that. But you begin to serve him in whatever he's asked you to do. And pretty soon you'll find that some of the stuff begins to rise to the top. You might start out in this, but all of a sudden you do this and you find that talent that he's given you. And we all know this, speaking to the choir, but all of those giftings and talents and things that he's laid out in your life, it's for the kingdom of God. It's for his kingdom. It's for us to interject with other people, to help them, to encourage them. It's to be a part of a church body. It's to be of whatever service you are to be in the body of Christ. Amen. So we look at these things, the giftings and the talents. The New Living says, "Oh Lord, what a variety of things you've made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creation, or creatures." I have already read this about the New Century, full of your riches, I think. God's existence as well as his sustaining role are clearly evident in the ecological balance of nature. There it is, friends. There it is. His sustaining role. I understand we've got to be stewards. God speaks highly of stewardship, right? Of the land and of the water and all of these things. We've got to do that. But God is the creator. We were talking, I think, Paul, were you saying that? And I heard this last week or two back, you know, months back, you know, California's running out of water. All it took was some rain and some things out there, and I've heard reservoirs are back up to where they were at. Has anybody else heard those things? It's like, God knows. See, man, now we're trying to do all these things. We're saving this and saving that and doing this and doing that. And we're going to have electric cars and windmills and solar panels. We're all of these things. It amounts to nothing. You read studies about you can have an electric car, but all the pollution and all the contamination that it takes to get the battery stuff together out of China and all that and all the mining they do, it's going to be a problem there. So it's like, what is man thinking of? Well, man is thinking that they've got the answer and that God doesn't. Or they got the answer and they don't believe in a God. God has created this, my friends. God is going to take care of this. We do our part. Okay, we do our part. Good stewardship. But to think you go around and doing this and unplugging that and taking this and doing this and all that, that's going to create something that's going to happen, it's only going to happen when God does his thing. And we got a society that is growing more and more towards that. Less dependent upon God, more dependent upon man. Less dependent upon God's knowledge and wisdom. More dependent upon man's shallow wisdom. Shallow knowledge. And we're going to trust man. You go into Ecclesiastes, it says there too, nothing's new under the sun. Temperature variances, rain, snow, this, that. Just go on to some areas of previous past centuries of weather. You'll find that they had high temperatures back in the 1800s. They had low temperatures back in the early 1900s. They had snow really bad over here. They had snow down south, whatever, 1890 or whatever the case is. But I've said this before. I read those things, and all it does for me, folks, is it just solidifies within me even more that my God knows what's going on. So what that it snows down in Florida? Big deal. Okay. And it's like Florida up in Minneapolis. Oh, well, it happens. There's a lot of things going on around this world with currents and air and breeze and blah, you know, the jet streams and all these things. And yeah, there's a lot of things that's happened to it, but I think God is okay with it. And he's not okay with it, but he's okay being able to take care of it. Thank you, Lord. He's the creator. He is the creator, not just of you, but of creation, of nature. Psalm 65. What is 6 to 13. Let's see. Psalm 65, 6 to 13. Who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power? You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also dwell in the furthest parts, are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. Verse 11, 65:11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered with grain. That they shout for joy, they also sing. And then 66:1 says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. It's not that we worship the earth, right? The earth is not our idol. We're not going to go out and, you know, honor trees and stand before them and bow before the trees, you know. The trees are bowing before God. Think of that when the wind is blowing and you see these things going like this. You can think of like, oh, that big old tree, I don't know if it's a he or she tree, I don't know. But it is bowing to God. This psalm is glorifying God as the creator, and he is reflected in nature. He was reflected in my ice shreds. He was reflected in the ice on my trees. He was reflected just the beauty. You know, I love sometimes when it's like a chill, cold outside, freezing-ish, and then the river is warm, and that steam comes up, and it gets along the trees, on the branches of the trees. Ooh, come down River Road like that. Ooh, I tell you, it's almost worth running into the river sometimes looking at all that stuff. But you begin to see the trees turn like white. And sometimes the white on it looks like about that much. You know, the branches like this, and it just seems like it's that much whiteness on it of the condensation and the hot and the steam of the water coming and grabbing hold of that tree. Wow. If we truly take notice of nature, it will give us insight of God's character. I think that's what's lost in a lot of people. We're so busy with doing so many things. We forget to look at the things, the basic things of God. And then we forget that God is who he is, God, and the creator, and put all this together. But we end up getting so busy, so busy. The Jewish people believe that God's care of nature was a sign of his love and the provisions for them. Nature does show God's generosity. It should speak to us about his generosity towards us. Everything out there is for a purpose and a reason of God's development. Some of it I don't understand, but it's there. If I don't understand it, I say, I don't understand it, God, but if it's you, praise God. Maybe you'll enlighten me and give me some insights into it. But we go into so many things and you know, just touching on things. Even when a forest fire comes through the hills, oh, it's a tragedy. Look what's happened. Well, it is a tragedy that these people build cabins and houses up in a hill where there's trees all around them, right? It's like, okay, you want to be in nature, there you go. But we find that once that happens, and it takes like the heat of the fire to open up the pods of the pines to replant, and after just a few months, all of a sudden you begin to see these little sprouts coming up, rejuvenating, renewing that area. That's God. God in his design of plants and trees and flowers. It's those things that we think we've got to take care of them. All you've got to do is just enjoy them. And God will take care of those things. Mount St. Helens blew. I had that a long time back. We shared about that. I don't know. I remember sharing now about that. about how that dust came over, and it was just a few days later, all of a sudden, or a month or two or whatever, there's all of a sudden you start seeing sprouts coming up through that ash. That ash was really rich in minerals and stuff, I guess, and it just really did well. But it took a volcano. Boom. Ah. We're destroyed. It's never going to come back. Did it come back? Yes. 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 So I was out last, like, Friday or Saturday, and I looked between two shrubs, and there's snows there, and I'm seeing the Easter lilies. I'm seeing, there's green, like, about that far above the snow. And I go, well, hello. Welcome to 2023. But you start seeing the vegetation, you start seeing these flowers developing and growing, and there's snow, there's ice, it's caked. Oh, my poor flowers. They're designed, they'll take care of themselves. Sometimes we get in the middle thing, we got to fix it all, and just let them go. Let them go. But that was another thing that brought to mind how God moves and how he continues to redo things. Terrible cold, ice, blah, 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 and I've got lilies starting to come up in the snow. But it's a sign of God, I think, if we look at that way. And I think if we look at it through, maybe you're going through a situation, say a tragedy, I don't know what you want to call it, but it just seems like you're just dumped on. But God and his abilities will bring a sprout through that. Through that thing you're dealing with, through that thing that's harboring you and holding you down, if you just trust God and just trust God, oh God, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, you're not going to leave me, you're not going to forsake me, I don't want to do that to you, oh God, then I believe eventually you'll begin to see a sprout and he'll begin to grow that in you. But that's in nature that I see that. I'm going to tell you, if he can do it in nature, he can do it in me. You think? Yeah, I think so. May not be when I want it, may not be when my time, but I'm going to tell you again, guys and gals, you've got to surrender your time to him. And you just need to trust him, and you need to praise him. Praise him in the storm. Because you can always praise him when everything's going good. That's nothing. When everything's going good and you're praising him, that ain't nothing. But when you can praise God, situations are just all around you crazy. That is when you've got a trueness with that of God. That say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm not going to take my eyes off of you, for you have got greater things. And Lord, you've been with me before, and you're going to be with me through this. It's been a while. I don't know what the time is. But Lord, your Bible, if God is not doing things in that particular situation with you, then part of this is a lie. It's hard. But you either believe him or you don't. It's none of this wishy-washy stuff. And there's times I'm going to have to deal with that myself. There's times that I'm going to have to get down to the point of, do I trust him or do I trust whatever? Yes, Lord. It doesn't say in the Bible to understand God. It just says to trust God. It's hard, I know. It's hard. But you know, when I come to a point in time where I can't deal with it, I say, okay, Lord, I'm weak. I'm weak! I don't have an answer. I'm weak. I don't know where to go. I don't know this. But your word says when I'm weak, you're strong. And I believe that, God. So I'm telling you right now, Lord, I am weak in this. And I need your strength in this. And I need your presence in this. I need you to hold me up. I need you to sustain me, Lord God. And I don't know what the answers are. And I don't know why things happen the way they do. But that does not remove who God is and what he has created and how he has put all this stuff together in this world. Now, but I want to keep focusing on God as the creator and looking at his majesty, our majesticness around us. In Jeremiah 10, 12 to 13, I'm just going to read this. It tells us that God made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom. God has power. God has wisdom. It continually tells us in his word that I am the God, I've got this, I've got, and eventually he'll say, Tim, I've got this for you. Just let me have it and move on. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. There's probably in the last month or so, really some things within me with other things that's been kind of like, it's not, you know, life and death type stuff or anything like that, okay? But it's just, it's things. It's concerning things on me. And what I see, and what I'm perceiving, and what I think, and what's this, and what's that. And I get to that point where I believe that, okay, God, I don't understand this. I don't think this is going to work. Whatever the case might be, blah, 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 blah. Now, I get into that level, but then again, all of a sudden, it's got to be, and that's where it's deep within you, that's when you got to get deep in here and call upon the Lord and say, okay, Lord, it's yours. Take me back to where I was in that level. Take me back to this of that faith. Take me back to this of my trust, whatever the case might be. Oh, Lord. So we all go through it, different things. I'm not saying that I have arrived. I'm not saying that I've not had those times. And I'll stand here before you and tell you, I pity myself at times. I have a cry party with God. I'm not totally out there, but my problems with him and saying, I think, Lord, time, it's been enough. You know, I think this should have done this and this should have happened, or this should be in our life here, or this, or my life here. Oh, but it does not change when I get down to the brass tacks to say, I love you, God. And I am going to say I love you over and over and over. I'm going to tell you, when you're in the pits, he gets sweeter and sweeter. That's when you want him to get sweeter and sweeter, is when you're down and you're going, oh, Lord, oh, this is enough. I've had it up to here. But then I think of him. And then I look at the surroundings that he has placed within me. I say, Lord, how can I be upset with you when I see this and that in nature? Oh, my Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. And I trust you. Get yourself up. Dust yourself off. See, the thing is, sometimes you stop right there and you stay right where you're at and you sit. Have your pity party, have whatever, and start moving one foot in front of the other. But anyway, you get up and you get going. I don't care if it's just moving this much. It's forward process or progress. Amen. We have got to be on a forward progress with God every day. I believe it. I believe we got to. There's those songs out there. Take back what the enemy has stolen. We got to do those things. We got to claim those. We got to call those things back, whatever the case is. Well, I've done that for, 5 weeks and it's not changed. Well, do it for another 5 weeks. I don't know, but just do it. What do you got to lose? You just stay in the fight, amen? And the fight is the battle of that of the Lord's, amen? I'm just going along for the ride and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to see a miraculous. I'm going to have a testimony. It's going to be a wonderful testimony somehow, some way. I don't know what it's going to be. But we get ourselves so locked in on things. And oh, I've been there. Have you ever been there where after you allow it to have so much time on you, you're buried. You were just buried. My goodness. I'm going to end with this. Okay, let's go Psalms 8. I'm just going to speak a little bit here, but the glory of the Lord in creation. In Psalms 8, I think it's verses 3 to 5, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, isn't that amazing? God's fingers. Ooh. The moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit, or that you give attention or care for him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. But I like this here again, when I consider your heavens. That's what I was doing the other day, looking up in the heavens. The work of your fingers, Lord. Wow. The moon and the stars you've ordained. Psalms 19. In that psalm, David is meditating on God's creation. It doesn't hurt. If David's meditated on his creation, we ought to meditate on his creation, huh? God's word. God reveals himself through us in nature. And in Psalms 19, 1 through 6 says, I'm just going to footnote this. Looking around, we are surrounded by God's craftsmanship. The heavens give us a dramatic evidence of existence, his power, his love, his care. Now, I hate to burst the bubble, but of some of us that are thinking in this world or man, all this just didn't happen by that of a big bang, or it came about by happenstance. Wasn't that man was just plopped down here and here we are. No, God created all that we see and even out there, and there being that of space, where we are just really coming to the understanding of what really is out in deep space. Again, even when they try to find things of God here on this earth, it reveals even more that you don't know. And the further we go out in other areas of space, we just find out there's more to discover that we thought we had. But it's continually opening up as what God has created. We'll never come to the completion of it. It's always continuing to go on as far as what God has done. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I love you. Lord, I hope by whatever I've said today that somehow if I kind of rambled here and there, Lord, that you would just straighten it out in the spirits of the people, Lord, to really get my heart of what I wanted to get across was just your magnificence in creation. That, Lord, there's times we just need to stop and be in awe of all that we see. Lord, I thank you for the day here again. Be with us as we go. Lord, I pray that you will guide us and lead us in these days before us. And that, Lord, we will bring you honor and glory, and, Lord, we will bring people understanding of you more as they see you in us. And I thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for everything, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.